One thing that's very controversial, has been for a long time, is the concept of drug injecting rooms. And we know the drugs are a huge problem across the country, in fact, across the world. Do they actually provide any ongoing positive impact when it comes to getting people off drugs? We're going to see if we can have a look at that at the moment, because in Victoria they're about to open one, have just opened one up, I should say, after years of requests from the local community in an area that is plagued by drugs. And joining us at the moment, Dr. Marianne Jauncey from the National Drug and Alcohol Research Centre here in New South Wales. She's one of their senior lecturers there. Good morning, Marianne. I guess, firstly, they've sort of been around on and off for a while, but what actually happens, for those of us who don't know, inside of an injecting room? Are they a good place? Are they a helpful place, or are they just a shooting gallery?
They're very much a helpful solution, Mark. All around this country for about 30 years, we've been providing clean injecting equipment to drug users, knowing full well what happens with that equipment, but we're doing it to prevent an epidemic of HIV. And we've been incredibly successful, one of the lowest rates of HIV in the entire world amongst people who inject drugs. But the very essence of what we do is we then tell people to go away, because at that point it becomes illegal. And what we know is that then they go away and they inject drugs, hiding from society, behind parked cars, in back alleyways, in people's back streets, and they die. So what a supervised injecting facility does at its very heart is provide that clean injecting equipment and no longer tell people to go away. It is a clean, safer, non-judgmental health facility where trained professional staff are available on hand to ensure that people don't die of an overdose, to intervene when an overdose occurs, to take the injecting off the street so that it's no longer such a problem for the local community, which is why local communities are very fond of us. And then crucially at that point, to form connections with people that are sometimes the most vilified and marginalised in society, with a focus on getting them help and getting them into treatment. So these are very much part and parcel of the solution, not the problem.
For those against, Marianne, do you think it would be a little unfair to say, well, you know, this just brings the wrong sort of crowd to a neighbourhood? Do you think that might be a little naive to not acknowledge that it is a wider problem in all of our neighbourhoods anyway?
So two things. You're absolutely right in your introduction that drugs have been with us for as long as we've been around. I don't think that there's a human society in existence that does not have drug use of some kind or another. And what we know about supervised injecting facilities is they are a local solution to a local problem. So if you set one up in the leafy suburbs of a suburb where there is not injecting drug use going on, it will not be used. It will be a complete and utter waste of money and resources. What these do is respond to existing problems. So in King's Cross in Sydney, when we opened in 2001, we had the dubious honour of having the highest overdose death rate from heroin anywhere in the country. We had a local community that were crying out for something different to be done. Two ambulances were being called to an overdose every single day, and the streets were awash with discarded needles and equipment. It was the local community that wanted something to be done differently to improve things for them. And so a supervised injecting facility allows that to be taken out of the public domain into a health facility where judgment can be suspended for a period of time and the professional staff can try and, firstly, keep people alive and, secondly, make a connection to get them into treatment services. You know, when you talk to parents and brothers and sisters, somebody who's injecting drugs, first and foremost, they are desperate to make sure their loved one is safe. Mm. Then we need a much more comprehensive, well-supported, well-funded treatment system that we can then access to get help for those people. But first and foremost, we have to keep them safe.
So I guess this is part of the ongoing ideal that we try and make drug addiction treated more, or thought of more in the community, as an addiction / medical issue more than a flat out criminal issue.
I think that's absolutely right. And that's, you know, I have to say, one of the things as a doctor who's worked in King's Cross for nearly 20 years, it's really become apparent to me that, as you say, this is an issue that is much more effectively dealt with through a health and well-being lens than purely a criminal lens. What we know is that you actually can't punish people into getting better. It just doesn't work, and it's a waste of money and time. Mm. So it is far more effective to acknowledge the reality of the situation, as distressing as that is, and then be both practical and pragmatic, as well as compassionate, and look at evidence-based solutions where we know we get bang for our buck for our dollar, it improves things for the individuals, and it improves things for the local community.
Marianne, I'm sure we'll watch with great interest what is happening, what will happen as a result of this new centre in Victoria, and I'm sure
They're not quite open yet, but they're due to open in 2018. So we equally will watch with bated breath.
We will, and I'm sure discussions will happen a little bit further along. Thanks for at least bringing that with us this morning, Marianne.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
There she is, Dr. Marianne Jauncey from the National Drug and Alcohol Research Centre. I know it's touchy. I know most of us don't want it in our backyard, but I guess there are some interesting thoughts there, aren't there? If you've got a thought on it, why not let us know on 4921 6216 at 2NURFM.